Does anyone else feel uncomfortable, or is it just me? Just me, right? That was about 45 seconds of silence. And I felt uncomfortable, right? Obviously. Isn't it funny? Like, I think silence, when we think someone's supposed to be talking and they're not talking, it has a way of really making us, I think, feel awkward. It could be me standing up here. It could be a roommate, and you're trying to have a conversation with a roommate, and they're not talking back to you. You know something's probably wrong, or your parents. Or imagine if the president kind of stood up for his annual State of the Union speech and just stared off into the television camera and didn't say anything. Just stared, right? And you'd know, hey, something's probably wrong there. Could be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I mean, I'm well aware girls love to give the silent treatment. Is any guys in here ever gotten that before? Okay, yeah, you guys are being honest. Okay, that's cool. Any girls given it? Only if, now, I know. My wife's not raising her hand, and I know she gives the silent treatment. When we first started dating, I used to get the silent treatment a lot. And the thing was, I didn't know I was getting it. I just thought she was quiet. And finally, I remember one time we were driving along the road, and she was just kind of staring out at the window. And I'm just driving. I got my CD in the car, and I'm just kind of driving along, and I'm just having a good old time. And she's like, "Aren't you going to apologize?" And I said, "For what?" She's like, "For what you said earlier." And I'm thinking, "For that?" And she's like, "Yeah, can't you tell I'm giving you the silent treatment?" And I didn't even know that she was giving me the silent treatment. And so I learned over the years, though. But silence, right? It's that why do you give someone the silent treatment? You want them to know you're mad, right? It creates distance. It's a way of saying something that you don't actually have to, you know, that you don't have to actually say. So I think silence, it can make us feel tense. It can make us feel awkward. A couple of months ago, I was out in Los Angeles, and I was taking a graduate class out there. And from where I was staying to where I had to go to take my class, the only way I could get there was to take the bus. Now, I don't. Has anyone ever ridden the bus in L.A., by any chance? Okay, Todd has. Okay, a couple of you guys. Now, in L.A., okay, you know, the bus is a whole different world. It's a whole different genre of people that ride the bus. There's no Hollywood stars. There's no movie stars. There's no pro athletes that ride the bus. The bus is just a whole different group of people. I remember in the 2 weeks that I was there, there was one time that I got on the bus and there was a person just dressed like a witch. It was April, so it wasn't Halloween, just for no reason whatsoever, just as normal as could be, waiting at the bus stop, got on the bus, sat on the bus, had a broom, the whole deal, and just got on there. Another time I was riding the bus, there was this guy, he came and he had this huge sort of trench coat on. And he sat down next to me, and I could see that when he sat down next to me, he had a large weapon-like object in the trench coat. I don't know what came over me, but I just decided I was to talk to him, and I said, "Hey, what's that?" And that was, every once in a while you say something, you just wish you had those words back. Well, that's how I was feeling right there. I was like, "I am an idiot. I just should have shut up." But he's like, "It's a nail gun with an air compression tank attached to it." And if I hadn't learned my lesson already, I said, "Okay, well, why would you need that?" And he kind of looks at me, and you could tell he felt a little uncomfortable, and he leans over, and he's like, "We'll just keep this real quiet, but let's just say it's to get through things that are really hard." And he's like pointing at his head, and I was like, "Okay." I could tell he didn't really want to talk to me much anymore. So then I sat for the next 45 minutes next to this guy who's got this nail gun that he's going to push through somebody's skull, right next to me. And I'm thinking, what in the world? It was so quiet sitting next to this guy. I felt really uncomfortable. And silence can do that. Sometimes, like, you think about silent times, and, like, you hear people say, like, in the Midwest, like, right before a tornado comes, it gets eerily silent. And silence has a way of sometimes signaling that something bad is going to take place. Or imagine that you're at a party, and you go up, and there's a group of people talking, and you go up, and all of a sudden, everyone gets silent. And then they sort of walk away, right? Because they don't want to talk to you. Imagine that you're at that party, and you're just sitting in the corner of the room. You're all by yourself, and no one's talking to you. Silence has a way of making you feel alone. But what if silence, what if the person that's supposed to be talking to you is God? What if you're talking to God and God's not saying anything back? How do we deal with the fact that, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is alive and that the Scriptures tell us that Jesus can give us guidance and wisdom and direction in life, and sometimes we ask for it at very important times? How do we make sense of the fact when we don't get an answer? What are we to do with the silence of God? How many of you guys in the last, let's say, 2 years have gone through a period where you feel like God has been silent? Like you've asked for something and you haven't gotten an answer. You feel distant from God in some way. A couple, okay. A lot of you guys. All right, what I'd like to do for just a second is on everyone's seat there should be a blue card. It's a memory card. And I just want to take a second, if you have a writing utensil, if not, maybe we can make sure you get one. Just take a minute and kind of write, or a minute or two, and kind of write a paragraph about when's the last time you felt like God was silent or absent from your life. What did you feel like at that point in time? Why? What were you hoping to hear from God that you didn't hear? Just kind of write maybe a few sentences about the last time you felt like God was silent in your life. Does anyone need a pencil or anything like that? Everybody's okay? Cool. All right, just go ahead and take a few minutes. We can put on the music again. There you go. Okay. You guys maybe had a few minutes to write there. Would someone maybe want to share like a time when God was silent and you felt like distance from God? Anyone brave enough to share? Yeah, Chris.
3 weeks ago, I tried to go outside and try to read the gospel and ask for inspiration.
Yeah. Still haven't heard anything. Yeah. So you're kind of right in the middle of the time when you feel like God has just not given you an answer. Okay. Cool. Anyone else? A brave person. Yeah. 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 Yeah, so God kind of gave you an answer at the last minute. But how long were you kind of wrestling with that? All summer. It was a couple months. Okay. Yeah, sometimes it does. Maybe one more person. Is anyone one more person? Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, I think you know, we can probably all on some level relate to a period of time when it just seems like we want to answer from God or we want to hear something from God and we just don't hear anything. You know, probably even if, you're not even a Christian, you're sort of exploring what it means to follow Jesus, there's probably been times that you've prayed and it hasn't seemed like God has given an answer. So I think it's something we can all relate to. And that's kind of what we want to dig into today. Because the first thing that we should sort of take comfort in the fact is that there are many people who have gone through this, not just in this room, but throughout history. You can look through the Old Testament, the New Testament, throughout church history. There's all kinds of people who've sensed the silence of God. So if you have a Bible, I want you guys to turn to the blank page between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, okay? Most Bibles, if you have a Bible, should be a blank page there. If you don't, you won't have a blank page. But you can look on your program, and there's some notes and stuff on the side that's outlined. But that blank page, it's not in like the original text that's written in Hebrew and Greek and stuff, but I think it's kind of significant and symbolic that blank page is there, because between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, God was silent for 400 years. There was no words from God. That God just didn't speak to people. And so there was nothing that could be written. So I think that blank page is kind of significant, because it kind of represents the fact that God didn't say anything. And one of the people that lived during that period of time was a guy named Zacharias. And he's kind of an obscure character in the scripture. And most of us have probably never even heard of him. But if we have, we would know him more as John the Baptist's father. But he has something important to show us, because he's a guy who lived during a long period of God's silence. And he can help us understand some of how you get through the silent times of God. When we first meet Zacharias, he pops onto the pages of Scripture at Luke chapter 1. And he is living, like I said, at the end of this 400-year period. Now, he doesn't know that period's about to end. He doesn't know he's living near the end of the silent period, but he's been living this whole time. And he has looked back in the past, and he can say for the last 400 years, there hasn't been a prophet that God has spoken through. There's been no good king that God has worked through. There's been no well-known priest that has been able to kind of speak to the people from God, on God's behalf. None of that. A lot of people thought that God had just abandoned Israel during that 400 years, because they went through a really, really difficult period of time. Some people thought God had abandoned them because they were sinful. And so they thought, we've just sinned too much and God is angry. That's why God's not talking. Some people thought they hadn't worked hard enough as a nation, that they hadn't served God enough and that God was displeased with them, and so God had quit communicating with them. On top of it, they were going through a lot of turmoil, like politically and nationally in their country. They were under the rule of three different groups of people during that period of time. They went from the rule of the Persians, and then the Greeks took them over, and then the Romans took them over. They had to deal with this ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes, who killed many of them. It was a really, really difficult period of time to be living and to be a person of Israel. And in the midst of it all, God doesn't say or do anything. Nothing. And to someone like Zacharias, who really loved God, really wanted to be faithful and was trying to be faithful to God, this must have been difficult. And we know Zacharias did love God and tried to remain faithful, because we can read this about him. It's on your outline, or it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And it's also up here. And it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service," because Zacharias was a priest, "before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside of the incense offering, and an angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias." And so here we are, we've got Zacharias, and we know that he is a righteous person, okay? He wants to be righteous in the sight of God. It also says that he's blameless, and what that means is that God did not find any fault with him. He was a priest trying to minister to the people, and he was in here performing his priestly duties. I mean, imagine like being a pastor or a priest and God has never spoken to you, right? And that would be kind of hard, right? But his whole life, you could probably say that God has never spoken to him his entire life. He would have felt abandoned by God in some ways as the leader of his nation because of the fact that they were controlled by all these outside empires. And then there were some political leaders and religious leaders that were above him that were sort of collaborating with the foreign powers and oppressing their own people. And on top of it all, Zacharias and his wife couldn't have children. The scripture seems to give us the idea that they had tried without any luck for many years. And Elizabeth was barren. And at that period of time, to not be able to have a child, people looked at that as if you were out of the favor of God. And so not only did he try to serve God and didn't hear from God, his nation wasn't hearing from God, and then there was this real personal thing that was close to him that he couldn't have a child. He couldn't pass on his land to anyone. Everything that his family had worked for generations to give them a certain amount of land would have been lost because he couldn't pass it on. And yet somehow in the midst of all that, Zacharias remains faithful. God is silent. He goes through difficult times, and I bet he prayed for a child. But God didn't give him one up until just in a few minutes. We'll see that he does. But Zacharias just remains faithful. And so we ask, how is that possible? How does Zacharias remain faithful throughout that whole period of time? Well, he gives a prayer at the end of Luke chapter 1. And just want to read this prayer to you guys, and we can throw it up here on the slide so that you can see it. But it just sort of gives us an indication of kind of how Zacharias was. It says, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets, deliverance from our enemies and from every hateful hand." And then it goes on. And it says, "Mercy to our fathers, as he remembers to do what he said he would do, what he swore to our father Abraham," and this would have been, a couple thousand years before, "a clean rescue from the enemy camp, so we can worship him without a care in the world, made holy before him as long as we live." Zacharias got this word after God had appeared to him, the angel Gabriel had appeared to him and told him that he was going to have a child. Him and his wife, they were very old, but he said, "You guys are going to have a child." And he was in disbelief at first that this was actually going to take place. And then the angel told him that this child would be the forerunner, or would come and announce that the Messiah, that Jesus, was coming. And so Zacharias, he prays this prayer at the end and he gives praise to God, but I just would like us to reflect on the fact that he's praying this stuff and he's saying things that haven't happened yet. He's saying God's going to deliver us. It hasn't happened yet. But he keeps looking back to the past. I think there are three times in this just one prayer that he says something about God had promised long ago, before the prophets. He made a promise to Abraham. He keeps looking back to the past, to what God said in the past. You see, because that's what God's promises are. They're very simple. They're God's words in the past about things that will happen in the future. And so Zacharias knows if God said he would deliver his people, he would. If God said he would bring them into the way of peace, then God would do it. If God said he would deliver them from their enemies, then God would do that too. And it may not be in Zacharias' lifetime, although it started to be, but God would still do it. One of the best ways, I think, for us to develop the kind of trust and faith that Zacharias had in the middle of periods of silence from God is to look back in the past at times that God has spoken before. So we look back to the past to get a sense of what the future might look like. We look for the hope that God has given us in the past so that we have hope for what's to come in the future. It's the consistent call that God gave to people was to remember what I did. And that's kind of where Zacharias is living. And I think for us that can be really helpful because, you know, like I said before, even if you're probably not a follower of Jesus or you're considering it, I bet all of us have had at least one period of time when we sensed that God was real, when we sensed that God might be speaking to us. And if God has spoken to us in the past, then it's pretty likely that God could speak to us again. Some of us may have real concrete experiences of when God has spoken to us or given us an answer to a prayer that we had, or we needed guidance and God gave us guidance, even if we're living in the midst of not having any right now. And so I want to take another break again just for a minute, and we're not going to share this, but if you just flip the other side of the card over, just take a few minutes and maybe think of the last 5, 10, I mean, you can go back through your whole life, but just think about times when God has spoken to you before, God has done something powerful in your life, or you sensed that God was alive and was real. And just sort of maybe write a few thoughts about those times. When were they? What happened? And so just go ahead. We'll take a few minutes and give you guys some time to do that. Hopefully you guys were able to write down a couple times, and I think those things are real valuable to hold, to look back. So when you do kind of sense that you're in the middle of not hearing something from God or you feel distant from God, you can remember how God has spoken to you before. I think, but if we stop there, though, we don't have really enough pathways to sort of navigate through those silent periods. Because the question that we really all want to know is, why is God silent? Why am I not hearing anything? Well, here's a couple thoughts on that. Okay, one thing could be very simply that we've walked away from God. This is part of what happened with Israel during those 400 years of silence, is that they had gone through a long period of time when God had said, hey, this is my plan for you. It's a wonderful plan. It's a great plan. It's a plan not only to bless you, but to bless the world. Follow after this. And they didn't want to. They kept walking away from God. And so to speak, I think God sort of got to a period of time where he said, yeah, I'm going to save my breath. They don't want to listen, and God doesn't force people to listen. God has made provision for everybody so that those who want to hear and listen can, and those who don't have to. God is not, in most cases, going to force himself upon anyone. Now, there are times when God's love and power is bigger and is more mysterious than we can even consider, and God will speak to people even when they may likely not listen. But in general, sometimes we walk away from God. And so, of course, it makes sense that God, that we may be outside of the range of us, our ability to hear from God. I think this sort of happens to us too, just like it happened to Israel, that we can walk away from God. Maybe it's been a couple years since we really have been following Jesus, you know, regularly. Maybe someone told me, I was talking to them before then, that they sensed a time in their life when they were far from God, when they weren't going to church. But we might go through a period of time when we've sort of walked away from God. And I think when we begin the process of walking back, it takes time. We have to give it time. I know that when I go out of town, or Rachel goes out of town, like we really miss each other while we're gone, but sometimes it takes a little while for us to reconnect when we get back because we've been apart. Part of that's because we handle being gone differently. Like when I leave, like I don't really miss her a lot at first, and the longer I'm gone, I really start to miss her a whole lot. And she's kind of the opposite. Like, she misses me a whole lot at first, and then she sort of misses me less and less as time goes on, right? So when we get back, I'm like, want to hang out and, like, give her a hug and all. She's like, you know, give me a little space. So it takes a little bit of time, and we've kind of learned now that we kind of operate differently, and it takes time to reconnect. You guys know this, too. If you had a friend that maybe you had a fight with in some way and you've had some distance from one another, it takes time to reestablish your friendship, or if you've had a family conflict in some way, it takes time to reestablish that. I think we have to give ourselves the space in our walk with God too, when we feel like we've been distant from God, the space and the time to allow that to come back naturally. Another thing that could be happening is that maybe why God is silent is that God is preparing us for something. It says in Galatians 4:4 that at the fullness of time, at the appointed moment in time, God sent forth His Son. And what Paul is writing about there is he's sort of making an allusion to the fact that at the moment in time when Jesus came to live upon the earth was the exact moment in time that God wanted. And I think we can look back and we can see maybe one of the reasons that God was silent for so long with Israel is because He was preparing them for the biggest noise He would ever make. God had been silent for so long, and then all of a sudden this guy shows up saying that he is God incarnate upon the earth. They would be ready and willing to listen. I know for me, a couple years ago, it was the second semester of my master's degree, and I was pastoring, this was actually about 6 years ago now, but I was working with a church up in the D.C. area, and I went through a couple month time when I just was not hearing from God. God was just silent. And that's kind of hard, you know, like being a pastor and helping other people try to hear from God and you're not hearing from God yourself. And it was a rough time. And it was also about the same time when Rachel and I were considering making a move. And I didn't really want to move. And I was just praying and praying that God, please give me some direction, some word that would say, hey, you could stay right here. And I prayed, and nothing came, and then I fasted for like a whole week, and I still, God didn't say anything. I was so frustrated. But I look back on that now, and I see that God was actually preparing me for something, because when God finally did speak, he said, guess what? You're moving. And, you know, I have something else for you in Southwest Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Radford, and I was ready to listen. I was all ears when God was finally, you know, ready to speak, because I was in a place that I could listen. So maybe God's preparing you for something if you're not hearing from God quite well at this point in time. But if we stop there, I still don't think we've gone far enough. There's one more step we need to go, because we do want to know, if God is silent, is there anything that we can do or a place in life we can put ourselves in that would help us to hear from God better? And I think there are a couple things that we can do. One thing is, if we're feeling silence from God, we counter silence with silence. We counter silence with silence. And what that means is, I think we begin to practice the spiritual practices of silence and solitude. Because if we're feeling silent and alone from God, I think it's a good indication that we maybe need to go be alone by ourselves and get away from people and get away from the distractions of life. But that's hard, right? It's what we talked about. We don't like silence. We don't like the idea of leaving people and not talking to anybody for 5-6 hours, you know, just leaving, going up in the wilderness somewhere by ourselves or finding a place to be by ourselves. It's uncomfortable sometimes. Just the other day, I was sitting over here. I was sitting in front of the library, and just between classes, they were coming back and forth. And I'm sure you guys noticed this, but like when someone's walking across like the main area of campus here by themselves, what are they doing? They're on the cell phone. Like 90% of people who are walking by themselves are talking on their cell phone. Now, if you're walking with somebody else, no one's talking on your cell phone. But I just saw so many people who, if they were by themselves, they would call somebody. We don't like the idea of not talking with someone. It seems like we're walking by ourselves. We instinctively sort of pick up the phone and we call. We don't like silence. But it's so valuable. Because I know for me, it's really hard for me to hear from God when I'm busy talking to everybody else. It's really hard for me to hear from God when I'm thinking about my to-do list or what's the next thing I can do and my mind is just racing. For me, it's next to impossible. Unless I can go and get alone, get some silence, get some solitude, and just be away from people. Dallas Willard, he's a writer, and he says this, "To get out of human contact is not something that can be done in a short while, for that contact lingers long after it is in one sense over." So I would recommend, if you're feeling silence from God, I think it's a good spiritual practice anyway, that you have a time of silence and solitude. Maybe you take 5-6 hours one day and you just sort of go hike somewhere. You float down the New River, you know, and just sort of get alone. And typically, like for me, it takes a little bit of time before I really start to feel like I'm connecting with God. It's usually 2-3 hours. when, because the first hour, like, I'm running through my to-do list, and everything's coming up in my head of what I need to do when I get back. So I take a little journal, and I just write down, you know, the different things I need to do. And I just put it away when I'm done, and eventually they go away. And then, you know, it takes another time, and I start reflecting on my life, and God can start speaking to me. But you gotta give it time. So I would say, you know, take a journal, give yourself 4 or 5 hours, sit, walk, whatever, just be alone. And when you go, like, sometimes I think that we have this idea that we're going to go kind of spend time in prayer, just be in silence and solitude, and we are trying really hard to get God to speak to us. Or we're thinking, I'm going to go set aside the 6 hours, and God is going to tell me what I'm going to do with my life. Don't try to do those things when you go, okay? Just go. And don't have an agenda, don't have a plan. And after a while, I know that God will begin to reveal things to you, and God will begin to speak to you. The second thing I think we can do is just be open and aware to how God might be working in our life in a way different than we expected. I think it's so fitting that Zacharias, he was afraid when the angel showed up and began telling him what was going to happen. And he was freaked out about it. He was scared. He wasn't aware of how God might be beginning to speak to him in a new way. And so we need to consider different ways that God might speak to us that perhaps are just different than God has spoken to us in the past. Maybe if God's never really used the Scripture to speak to us, maybe it's a time when God's going to begin to use the Bible. Maybe it's some other people that know us, that are in community with us, that can share some things in our life. Maybe that's never happened before. But be aware of how God might begin to speak to you in a different way. And then if we go through that and I think we don't hear anything, I think we can let God know. We can vent. We can be frustrated. We can be upset. I mean, you read the Old Testament, there's all kinds of people. David, Jeremiah, Job, Habakkuk, these people who God was silent and they sort of expressed their frustration to God. I think we have the freedom to do that. And then when we get to the end of that, if all those things don't help us, I think one simple suggestion is maybe God's not speaking to us because everything's okay. Maybe we're all right. Maybe God just loves us and is pleased with us, and we don't need to know anything new right now. I know there are times when I'll just get this sense of how much I love my wife, Rachel. And it's like I don't love her all the time, but it's just like these times, it's just a real deep sense that how special she is to me. And so I'll tell her, and I'll say, "Hun, you know, just want to let you know I really love you a lot." And you know what she does? Sometimes she'll say, "That's nice that you love me, honey. Why do you love me so much?" Like I have a top 10 list prepared, like when I'm going to tell her, right? And I just get frustrated. So I'm like, "Hun, I just love you just because. And I have no reason today. And I just because I love you." And that's okay, right? Yeah, that's okay. I think that we have to see that God doesn't have a list of 10 things for us to know or do all the time, that God may just love us and is just pleased with us how we are. And so when we encounter periods of silence, I think we look back to times that God has spoken in the past so that we can look to the future. We sort of do some reflection to see if we walked away from God or maybe is God preparing us for something. To help kind of get through it, we can practice times of silence and solitude and then try to be aware of how God's speaking maybe around us in a different way. If we're frustrated, we let God know, and then we definitely need to consider, and this probably happens more than we think it does, maybe God is just pleased with us and just doesn't have anything new to tell us right now. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we say thanks for being the kind of God who does speak, who does guide. Lord, we've all sensed your life and your vitality and your voice at some point in time, God. Maybe if it's just once, but we've sensed it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know how to get through the times when it does seem that you're distant or that we've walked away. God, give us the courage to return to you and to come back. And, Lord, I even pray now for probably many people here who are in Radford and on this campus who have walked away from you or are in a silent time because they're just not pursuing you, Lord. I pray that you would begin to work in their hearts, and that you might allow us here in this room and others to begin working in their life to draw them back to you, God. And so in your name, we pray and ask for these things. Amen.
That's awesome. Right now is the time where we take a moment to fill out your cards here.